I'm a lawyer. Just came off 993 days of detention, home detention, and 45 days of that was in prison. After I helped indigenous peoples and farmer communities in the Amazon rainforest of Ecuador take on Chevron and win a $9.5 billion pollution judgment. And I'm so damn proud of what these communities and our legal team have accomplished. I'm actually proud that they felt so threatened by what we have the power to do, that they had to, in a very naked and I believe corrupt way, lock me up. And I wanna, this story's a little complicated, I'm gonna keep it simple. You know, I fought for years and years, a lot of lawyers on the case. We won the judgment. It was against Chevron. In Ecuador, Chevron decided to deliberately dump billions of gallons of cancer-causing toxic waste into the Amazon, where five indigenous groups had lived in peace and prosperity for millennia. The story of what Chevron did in Ecuador rings so similar to what I hear from my friends in Hawaii, and from what I'm hearing from every speaker today, and I'm so inspired by Susan, your leadership. You know, I've done a lot of environmental work around the world, and I keep thinking, like, how do we connect all these dots? You know, how do we connect Lake Norman in North Carolina with Jackson, Mississippi, and Flint, and Red Hill, Tucson, Idaho, Indiana, Michigan,
okay?
Bring it on, because you know the reality is it is everywhere. Ecuador, I've got friends in Serbia right now trying to block Rio Tinto from drilling for lithium, which would wreck the environment in Serbia as we speak. And what are all these things have in common? Number one is the polluters. And by the way, the Pentagon, I'm sure most know, is the world's biggest polluter.
That's right.
Okay. The polluters will continue to pollute unless we stop them. It's that simple. They will, if they believe they can get away with polluting for zero cost, they will do it. So where does the system fail? Where's the breakdown? You know, I'm a little older maybe than most people, but when I was growing up and sort of studying government, you had people like Ralph Nader around, and government actually worked as an antidote to corporate power and corporate control to protect us from the polluters. What's happened in recent years, and I urge people to think about the ties between these pollution problems and the failures of our political system, is that the polluters, the corporations, the fossil fuel industry, the energy companies, the utilities have so much money that they have essentially bought off all three branches of our government, including the agency that is supposed to stop what they are doing. They give so much money to government that when you go into an office, like Susan did with the EPA, they don't even think they work for you.
Right.
Okay? They don't think they see you as a little problem, you know, to deal with in the moment. And you know what? Until we take back our government, until we organize and mobilize from the jungle of Ecuador to all the towns and communities that you folks represent and I represent in New York, where we have massive pollution problems in New York, they are not going to stop this. And when you're a little too successful, they will engage in blatantly corrupt practices to stop the advocacy. After we won our judgment, and the courts of Ecuador, where, by the way, Chevron insisted the trial be held, where Chevron accepted jurisdiction. Case affirmed by Ecuador's Supreme Court, Ecuador's Constitutional Court in unanimous opinions, and Canada's Supreme Court for enforcement purposes. They sued me in New York without a jury in a civil case for $60 billion. I got sued for the most money of anyone in the history of this country.
Yeah. Whoa!
Ask me if it scared me.
No.
No, it didn't, actually. I took it as a sign of our effectiveness. We kept going. And we won a Supreme Court decision in Canada allowing the Ecuadorian communities to enforce their judgment against Chevron's assets in Canada because Chevron doesn't respect the rule of law and they refused to pay a judgment after they lost the case. At that point, they convinced this U.S. judge to hold me in contempt of court because I appealed an unprecedented order that I turn over my computer and cell phone to Chevron's lawyers and all the confidential information on those devices. And he had me locked up with an ankle bracelet in my home on August 6, 2019. And his charge against me was rejected by the regular federal prosecutor, and he appointed a private corporate law firm that had Chevron as a client to prosecute me in the name of the U.S. government. Think about that. Think about that. Think about that. Think what happened. The judge appointed a Chevron law firm to prosecute in the name of the U.S. government the guy who helped win the biggest environmental judgment ever against Chevron after the federal prosecutor refused to take the case. Now, I say this not to demoralize anybody because I think our country does have broader and serious problems that relate to many of these pollution problems. I say this because when we do this work, let's understand that if we are going to make progress, they will attack us. Right. And when they attack us, it's critical we stand together. Yes. It's critical we maintain solidarity.
Yes.
It is critical we protect each other.
Yes.
Okay. My clients can't be here today. They live in Ecuador. Most of them have never traveled out of the country, nor should they have to. So I'm here alone. They took my passport. I can't go down there. Many of them can't come up here. So I'm really honored. I asked my friends from Red Hill to stand behind me and Susan and everyone else because you know what? The people of Ecuador are not alone either.
Right.
We're all in this together.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm just so beyond inspired by Susan, by all the mothers. Advocate like a mother. I totally get it. I lost my mom. She was same type of spirit. And together, we can make this happen. I'm so honored to be invited to speak. Thank you so much to everybody. You're all an inspiration. Let's roll.